welcome to another message from all the parables of the Bible. We're in the Hikaine Diatheke in the New Testament right now. And Jesus is speaking. And I want you to see Jesus now as I speak these words to you. Don't want you to see me at all. I want you to pretend that Jesus is speaking to you. And I want you to understand the parables wherein he speaks. Herbert Lockyer talks about the parable of a generation and of children. And he uses Matthew 11, 16, and 17, but I don't want to just stop there. Because if we stop there, we won't get the message. I'm going to go all the way down to verse number 30, and I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible. And remember one thing. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. As he speaks these words to you. I'm going to read them, but listen to his words. But what shall I liken this generation? It is like little children sitting in the marketplaces who call to their playmates. We piped to you playing wedding, and you did not dance. And we wailed dirges playing like we were in a funeral, and you did not mourn, and beat your breast and weep aloud. We tried to get you to cooperate with us. For John came neither eating nor drinking with others, and they say he has a demon. Now who's saying this? Who are the ones that are saying these wicked things? The Son of Man came eating and drinking with others, and they say, behold, a glutton and a wine bibber, a wine drinker, an alcoholic, a friend of tax collectors, and especially wicked sinners. Yet wisdom is justified and vindicated by what she does, or her deeds, and by her children. Jesus spoke to loose women. He spoke to prostitutes, and their lives were changed. Now, the traditions, the Mishnah and the Talmud, forbid that an adult man would speak to any woman in public at all, not even his own wife, because that if he spoke to his wife in public, it would be unchaste. Jesus spoke to women of low character. They had been of low character. Now let's go on and see what he's saying here now. I want you to see Jesus. And then he kept on censuring and reproaching the cities in which most of his mighty works and miracles had been performed, because they did not repent and their hearts were not changed. The generation is where we live. The generation that we live in today makes all kinds of excuses for not believing in God and makes all kinds of excuses for not being responsible to God for their actions. As a child of God, I am his son. Sometimes I don't always act like it, but I know he's always my father. And I know he's always there picking me up. And urging me along. Marilyn thought of a title for a message a while ago, Between a Rock and a Hard Place. Jesus is the rock, and the hard place is our problems. Between a rock and a hard place. Many times we're between a rock and a hard place. Woe to you, O Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes, and their hearts would have been changed. When Jesus saves your soul, your heart is changed. You will not be able to sin happily ever again. Happily ever after. Let's put it that way. You cannot be happy living in sin. you cannot be happy living in sin. If you want the joy of the Lord, you have to follow him. If you're a child of God, if you're out there, if you're a child of Satan, do anything you want to. Just go do it. Have at it. But you will answer for it in the end for what you have done rejecting Jesus Christ. I tell you further, Jesus' words. Listen to Jesus. See Jesus. It shall be more endurable and tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than it is for you cities. And for you people that are in those cities. And you, Capernaum, beloved home, are you to be lifted up to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades, the region of the dead. For if the mighty works had been done in you that had been done in Sodom, they would have continued until this day. But I tell to you, it shall be more tolerable and more endurable in the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than it would be for you right now. And what kind of rats were they? Homosexuals, perverts of every sort, murderers, liars, thieves, and cheats. And so were some of us. At that time, Jesus kept on saying, I thank you, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, and acknowledge openly and joyfully to your honor that you have hidden these things from the wise and the clever and the learned ones, the educated, and revealed them to babies and to the childish ones and untaught and the unskilled. Is Jesus touching your heart today? Are you listening to his word? Is he touching your heart? Is he reaching your very soul? Are you going to be saved today if you're not? Are you going to follow Jesus in your life? Are you going to ask him to forgive you your sins and ask him to save your soul and put you in the place where you should be? Yes, Father, I praise you that such was a gracious will and good pleasure. Such was your gracious will and good pleasure. It's God's purpose that none should perish, that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was raised for your justification, and confess with your mouth him as Lord and Savior, you shall be saved. All things were entrusted and delivered to me by my Father, and by no one fully knows and accurately understands the Son except the Father. Have you ever had a soulmate, a friend so close to you, you could tell him your every desires and shortcomings and feelings? Have you ever? Have you ever had a mother or father that you could do that? Many people don't. Ever had a friend like that? That you pour your soul out to? And no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son, and anyone who the Son deliberately wills to make him known to him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to have rest. You want to have rest in Jesus, then we'll follow in his pathways. If you want to have rest in your life, follow Jesus. Your life won't be a bed of roses and cherry pie and New York cheesecake and filet mignon all your life. It'll be rough spots. When you decide to follow Jesus, then the battle begins. But I'll tell you what, your soul will have peace. I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And all these parables, look at all these parables and the illustrations and metaphors and allegories that he's using. Hyperbole. For I am gentle and meek, and humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest and relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. You go down on this creek up here, if you ever come here, just sit down on a rock and listen to that creek babble. Just go to sleep down there. I remember Brother Ray come up here and sat on a rock. He said it was just made for him. He said, Garden of Eden must have been like this. Garden of Eden must have been like this. All these springs running through there and all the beauty and the glory and the birds and fish flopping in the ocean and in the water. And birds flying and singing. The squirrels listening. The rabbits. I remember when I preached down on that creek, I had quite an audience. Lizards and squirrels. And fish just sitting there still in that swift running creek, just watching. Find out what's going to happen next. I can tell you what's going to happen next if you ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. You're going to be with the Lord forevermore. You have guaranteed future existence with Jesus Christ. For my yoke is wholesome and useful and good, and not harsh, hard, sharp, or compressing, but comfortable and gracious and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. Yes, when you're born again, following Jesus is easier. Following Jesus is easier. Page 168. All the Parables of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. From the defense of the character of John, Jesus passes to describe the character of the age in which both John and Jesus found themselves living. The Lord of nature, who can find sermons in lilies and birds, now finds the text in children and their games and their playing in the courtyards and the yards. The surly child who will not play at any game and blames another for it is the figure under which Christ sets forth the people around him. And who are these people? The Pharisees, the scribes, and those atheists, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the Sicarii, the Hellenistic Jews, the priest, the Levites, the high priest. His homely illustration fittingly portrayed the unreasonableness of his age, in which, therefore, unable to appreciate and receive his message. At the back of Christ's use of the common amusements of an Eastern city is the way children played at weddings and funerals. How often he had witnessed to children the childish representations of weddings and festivities and funeral pomp. The children would play their pipes and expect others to dance, and they would beat their breasts in lamentation and expect others to weep with them. Now, this is really weird today, but this is what children did back then. Now they want to play like John Wayne or Clint Eastwood, go boom, 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 or throwing a grenade over there and saying, fire in the hole. Back then, they played like they were going to weddings and funerals because that was the two great activities. They didn't have radio and television. They didn't have Hopalong Cassidy and Gene Autry and Roy Rogers, Randolph Scott, or any of those things. They were peeved that the other children would not join them in the juvenile imitations of the joyous and mournful scenes of life. It was in this way Jesus likened the capricious, evil generation to which John and he lived. One interpretation of this parabolic illustration is the fact that the antagonistic Jews were loud in their complaints against John the Baptist because he would not share their self-indignant mirth, bitter against Jesus because he would not live according to the rules of their hypocritical austerity. The Mishnah and the Talmud that Jesus condemned so much because it was nothing but men's writings. The Word of God is God's Word. Another explanation is the Lord and John invited others to mourning and mirth, respectively, but they were repelled by the sullen fellows. John said, repent, you generation of snakes. He told him one time, who's called you to flee from the wrath to come, you sons of vipers of the Nahash? The unreasonableness of the people has been paraphrased by saying, you will not mourn to John's wailing, and you will not dance to my piping. John came with a stern, hard, aesthetic, and profoundly necessary message calling men to metanoia, repentance. And you say he has a demon, and you will not listen to him. He asked them one time, he said, they asked him a question. And then he asked him, I'll answer you if you tell me, was John the Baptist from heaven, his ministry from heaven, or from men? And they said, oh boy, if we say from men, they'll kill us because they've taken him for a prophet. And if we say from heaven, he said, why didn't you listen to him then? I have come with such humanness that men say of me, I am a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. It was an age that would not mourn to John's wailing and dance to Jesus' piping. What was the first miracle that Jesus performed? He turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, a joyous thing. The king had come. He said, why don't your disciples fast? He said, how can they fast when the bridegroom was with them? How can they fast when the wedding's going on? I'm calling out my church. I'm in the process of calling out my church and taking her home. And you want her to weep? There's going to be plenty of time for her to weep when I'm gone. Or to reverse the order, John would not dance to their piping and Jesus would mourn to their wailing. The people were like a group of children who did not know their own mind. The stern and severe note of John was denounced as being the utterance of a demon-possessed man. I'll tell you what, there was a demon-possessed man who had 2,000 demons in him, went down to Decapolis, which is the 10 cities, and preached and built churches all over the place. He was a self, what we call a mono, a single missionary to that whole area. And boy, did people listen to him, because look what he was before. Being the utterance of demon-possessed man, the tender and joyful message of Jesus was rejected because it lacked an aesthetic note. Proverbs 27:7. No wonder Jesus ended this particular conversation by saying that wisdom is justified by her works. Our children, true wisdom knows the necessity for the real person of mourning and the true inspiration of dancing. And she is justified in her methods as they are presented to men. There is great concurrence, of the children of wisdom in the acceptance of both sides of truth, in obeying the call to repentance and faith in our Savior. There is a song that I've heard sung at funerals many times, Dancing with Jesus. Yeah. Are you dancing with Jesus? Are you dancing with the joy of that wedding feast? Have you heard his voice? Have you come to know him? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Or is he your enemy? Have you been following Jesus? Is Jesus your master? Or Jesus your foe? Have you listened to his call banging on your heart, begging, wishing you to come with him, wishing that you might open your heart to him and your soul? How do you do that? Realize you're a sinner. Say, Lord, save me, a sinner. I believe that you came into this world to save sinners. I believe that you died on the cross of Calvary. I believe that you raised again. And I believe that you're standing there right now wanting me to be born again. And I want to be. Please give me the grace and repentance and faith For in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that not out of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto his workmanship and unto good works, wherein we should walk in them. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out today that they may see Jesus. That they may see Jesus, their friend, their love. Father, convict the people of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come that hear these words and are not saved. I pray that they'll come to know Jesus, not through a priest, not through some works of righteousness, but through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Father, send your Spirit wherever this goes. I pray for those that are listening many times to these messages. I pray for their families to be saved. I pray that they will be good witnesses to them. I pray that there's ammunition in these messages wherein they might talk to them. And I send your Spirit, please, to work with their words. Forgive me where I fail you, Father. Guide me, lead me, push me, corral me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.